The Truth News Network.
Only you can prevent glorifying lies. TNN.
The Truth News Network.
Dan Newman.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the show today about California's death penalty. Well, they used to have one. I guess they still have one. But nobody that's been convicted is going to be executed. Well, let's figure it out. California's governor has given life to more than 700 inmates already convicted for taking the lives of innocent Californians. Governor Gavin Newsom took that action using executive action. And in doing so, he spared the lives of a quarter of all the death row inmates in the United States. Let's be clear here. The governor's stay of execution for those approximate 700 death row inmates is not necessarily permanent. These are not pardons. The stay is technically good only during his tenure as governor or as long as that executive action stays in place. But here's the important point of this story that most will miss. His action thwarts the will of California voters. You won't hear the leftist media tell this part of this story. 3 years ago, California voters rejected an initiative to end the death penalty. But those voters took it one step further. They didn't stop there with just stopping the ending of the death penalty. They passed a measure to speed up executions. You know, death penalty inmates are on death row for decades while the judiciary takes over with appeals and trying to get everything all the way up to the U.S. Supreme Court to get a stay. They wanted it to be quicker. The governor's justifications for taking this action? Newsom claims the death penalty system in his state has discriminated against people of color and mentally ill defendants. He then throws in the claim that all death penalty opponents use as their principal excuse for banning the process, that death sentences and the process waste taxpayer money.
Good evening, I'm Elizabeth Cook.
And I'm Ken Bassett, and we begin with some breaking news tonight. Governor Gavin Newsom ending the death penalty in California. KPIX 5 Joe Vasquez is live at San Quentin, where some of the state's most notorious criminals are on death row, including the man who killed a Bay Area teenager. Joe?
Yeah, Ken, every prisoner that's been sentenced to death is here at San Quentin, more than 700 of them. They're on what is commonly called death row, although after tomorrow, they may have to change that name.
Now is the time for decency.
According to an administration source, Governor Gavin Newsom will put a moratorium on death penalties in the state of California by signing an executive order tomorrow morning. That means nobody who is sentenced to death will be executed by the state as long as that moratorium is in place. The execution chamber at San Quentin would be closed. The lethal injection protocol will be suspended. That is the drug cocktail that is shot into the body of inmates during execution. The source says nobody is going to be let out of prison and nobody's conviction or sentence will be changed.
When he told me that, a little piece of me died in that room.
Mark Kloss is a victim's rights advocate. His 12-year-old daughter, Polly, was kidnapped and murdered in Petaluma in 1993. Richard Allen Davis stood trial, was convicted, and sentenced to death. Mark Kloss says he was in Sacramento at a victim's rights meeting when he heard the news straight from Governor Newsom at the end of the meeting this afternoon.
He brought up the issue of the death penalty and basically said that under his watch there would be no executions. And I countered that. I told him, I mean, these are the guys that kill cops. These are the guys that kill women. These are the guys that kill little children. These are individuals who have been sentenced to death by a jury of their peers because their actions were so evil.
The governor is expected to lay out his reasoning for this decision tomorrow. In fact, his belief that this law is applied unjustly and unevenly, that it is more likely the case that people of color end up here on death row. Mark Kloss says, wait a minute, it's the law of California, and he and other victims' rights advocates don't understand how the governor can change that law just by signing an executive order. Stay tuned. Reporting live, San Quentin, I'm Joe Vasquez, KPIX 5.
Reality star Kim Kardashian West is an advocate for prison reform, and tonight she tweeted, quote, "We should not be okay with the risk that an innocent person could be executed. I hope we can turn toward better solutions that focus more on healing victims of trauma and prioritizing fairness and justice."
You know, here is what has really happened as a result of the governor's unilateral action regarding death sentences and those on death row. He's ignored the will of California voters. We told you exactly what those voters said several years ago. He superseded the California legislators who passed laws implementing and maintaining that death penalty. He spit in the faces of the family members of the victims of those 700 excused murderers. And he's laughed at the rule of law in his own state. You heard in his own words at the beginning of that segment we just played from that news report, he talked about decency. So let's get this straight. The governor is saying that decency is forgetting about the fact that some of those people that were killed were actually slaughtered by those in California's prison that have been sentenced to death. Forget about those and think only of the fact that these people are locked up. That's all that matters, is they're locked up. Doesn't matter why they're locked up. You know what? All that sounds like just another day at the California governor's mansion in Sacramento. At first blush, many will be tempted to say the very good-looking and young, newly elected California governor is just testing his authority early in his administration. Others might say he's from the new school of liberal American voters who simply don't know better. But anyone saying either of those would be sadly mistaken. Gavin Newsom, although young, is a very smart young man, especially in all things Californian and all things Californian in politics. But who is Gavin Newsom? Well, let's meet him just for a moment. We could spend a whole show just talking about his background, but let's just kind of connect the dots for you. The governor is not a political newbie. He's the 40th governor of California. He's a member, of course, of the Democratic Party. He previously served as the 49th lieutenant governor of the state from 2011 to 2019 and as the 42nd mayor of San Francisco. He attended high school in Marin County. And for those of you that know California, when you go across the Golden Gate Bridge coming out of downtown San Francisco, Marin County starts right there. That's that little fishing village to the right when you come over the bridge. It's really a cool place to go for lunch. Sausalito, that's Marin County. And I probably don't need to tell you that that's a very expensive zip code. He attended high school there, and he went and graduated from Santa Clara College. In 2003, Newsom was elected the 42nd mayor of San Francisco, becoming the city's youngest mayor in a century. He was reelected in 2007 with 72% of the vote. He was elected lieutenant governor of California in 2010 as the running mate of Jerry Brown and was reelected in 2014. In February of 2015, Newsom announced his candidacy for governor of California in the 2018 election. On June 5th of 2018, he finished in the top two of the nonpartisan blanket primary. You know, they've got a different deal out there. It's not just Democrats running against Democrats in the primary. They throw everybody in the bucket in the election, and they just pick the top two. Whoever got the most votes in the primary is who goes to the general election, even if they're both Democrats or both Republicans. In the general election, Newsom defeated Republican John Cox on November 6th. You just received a short version of Newsom's story. He, since birth, has actually been part of an unofficial power group comprised of four California families. You may not have heard about the Newsom family very much, but you've heard about the Getty family, the Pelosi family, and the Brown families. They are all very wealthy, heavy political hitters, and very, very liberal. Newsom's parents divorced when he was young. He lived with his mom, who was a working-class Californian. And again, they were across the Golden Gate Bridge in Marin County. His father was wealthy himself, and though Gavin did not live with his father opened all the important California political doors for his son. Gavin was the unofficial adopted son of the Gettys. Now, let me tell you about who that is. It's J. Paul Getty's family, claimed by many to be the richest man in American history. There's the movie about him, you know, where his grandson was kidnapped overseas and he refused to pay the ransom. Well, that's J. Paul Getty. Pat Brown and his son Jerry. Pat Brown was the governor who just left office, his father. Pat Brown was the previous governor. They were all part of that same circle. Speaker Pelosi's husband was equal in that power group and still is. Politics for them all is just a natural part of who they are. And of course, money, money, money. But even more than money, what so visibly consumed and still does every member of that political clan is power. They more than most fully understand that with power comes everything one desires. The Gettys, the Browns, the Newsoms, and the Pelosis have made the accumulation and maintenance of as much power in as many different areas of life, not just politics, their number one objective. And they have done that, and still are. As an aside, I just thought I'd throw this in. Governor Gavin Newsom was married for several years to another Californian who shared a lot of camera and microphone time, and still does, Kimberly Guilfoyle. Kimberly, you may remember, was a regular at Fox News, and before that, Court TV. She left Fox in 2017 to assume a so far unnamed position in the Trump re-election campaign for 2020. And by the way, she's dating Donald Trump Jr. Regarding specific politics for the governor, most Americans, you even though know his name, you really don't know what he stands for. Politically, it is safe to say he is hardcore left. Newsom was a major proponent of Proposition 64. That was the 2016 measure that legalized recreational sales and use of marijuana in California. He characterized it as a primarily social justice issue, arguing drug charges lead disproportionately to the incarceration of poor people and minorities. I believe in second chances. I believe that people have the capacity to learn from the mistakes and grow and in many respects become better people, Newsom said. I like to think I'm a better person, and I like to think that a lot of people have made boo-boos, we just don't read about them, he added. He didn't stop there. Governor Newsom's first act as governor was to propose state-funded health coverage for 138,000 young people in the country illegally, and a reinstatement of a mandate that everyone buys insurance or faces fines. Remember that Obamacare mandate was taken away. In other words, you don't, under federal law, have to buy insurance. He also proposed giving subsidies to middle-class families that make too much to qualify them under Obamacare. He signed an order giving the state more bargaining power in negotiating prescription drug prices and sent a letter to President Trump and congressional leaders seeking more authority over federal health care dollars. Health care was his fundamental campaign project. Giving state-funded health care coverage to those illegal young people mentioned above is just the beginning of a socialistic style of economic policies. Many are confident that Newsom is simply running a pre-campaign for a presidential bid in 2024. Pundits feel strongly that he is diligently working to position himself politically somewhere to the left, even further left, than the currently declared Democrat Party candidates that are all already announced for 2020 for president. It's hard to believe there's even any room left of Bernie and Elizabeth Warren. But apparently, Newsom feels there is, and he fits that spot really well. And thoughts are, he's thinking 2024. But don't count out, right now anyway, a presidential run in 2020. His campaign philosophy, certainly if Newsom's target is the presidency, his history of family and business close ties with wealthy people inside and outside of California is very important for him. And the typical organizations and individuals supported candidate Newsom in a big way in his run first for lieutenant governor and then the governor. Labor unions, housing developers, and wealthy entrepreneurs are among the thousands of people in groups who gave him money to elect him, according to the financial disclosure reports filed by his campaign. Labor unions spent millions on independent efforts supporting Newsom, allowing them to avoid donation limits as long as they didn't coordinate with his campaign or, you know, tell the campaign what to do. More than two dozen representing a range of professions, from healthcare workers to construction crews, also gave the legal maximum amount of $58,400 directly to Newsom's campaign. Various branches of the Service Employees International Union, the SEIU, spent more than $2.7 million. The union has applauded Newsom's efforts to boost funding for the state's early education programs and his proposal to expand paid family leave, policies the union says will help working families. The California Correctional Peace Officers Association also spent big to help elect Newsom, dropping $2.8 million. The California Nurses Association spent more than $700,000 on independent efforts to elect Newsom and gave the maximum contribution allowed to his campaign. The group wants Newsom and the legislature to create a government-funded universal health care system, often called single-payer. But the health care groups backing Newsom don't all agree that that's what they want. Private health insurance companies, which probably would go away under a single-payer system, generally oppose the idea. Duh. Blue Shield of California, for example, spent about $1 million supporting him. The group was one of the insurers who opposed a bill in the legislature's last session that would have created a single-payer system in the state. California Teachers Union spent more than $1.3 million supporting Newsom and gave the most they could directly to his campaign. They've applauded his commitment to make charter schools, which are publicly funded but privately run, more transparent about how they spend their bucks and his call for more state oversight. Newsom also became the preferred candidate for some prominent charter school backers who often oppose the teachers' unions in California politics. Charter schools, for example, were a major point of contention during the teacher strike in Los Angeles recently. As part of the deal to end that strike, the school district agreed to the union's demand to consider a cap on charters. Let's just tie a bow on this. Gavin Newsom is the cookie-cutter version of the perfect leftist in today's U.S. political landscape. He believes in and supports all the standard causes of the left, like gun control, marijuana legalization, open borders, free health care for all, massive tax increases, especially on the wealthy, free college tuition, and everything and everyone who is anti-conservative. He cannot stand President Trump. His personal history is one of entitlement, even though his single mother basically raised him in a working-class home. But he always had connections with the rich and famous and used them all from a very young age. He knows how to run successfully for office, at least in California so far. How will he govern out there? His administration is just several months old, so it's hard to judge at this particular point. But so far, he has governed exactly as he ran for office, from the left. Now think about it. In national campaigns, most of the time, especially in presidential campaigns, Democrats run in the primaries further left. And if and when they win the nomination and headed for a general election against a Republican, they move back to the center to try to draw those independent voters in. Gavin Newsom stayed away from that. He ran in his primary as a leftist. He ran in the general election as a leftist. And so far as governor, he's governing from the left. Most Americans struggle to comprehend the mindset of today's far-left Democrat Party. Increased abortion options that are shocking everybody that's pro-life. They like massive gun control, want more, runaway taxes linked with runaway government spending, free everything. And of course, no southern border security. Just open up and let there be no walls and open borders. And now Newsom, with impunity, has thumbed his nose at California law while ignoring those who were killed, in many cases actually slaughtered, by those 700-plus individuals who, under California law, were found guilty by a jury of their peers for first-degree murder and sentenced to die. Death sentence haters are actually questioning that the governor did not simply go ahead and just pardon those 700 people. He has that legal authority. I wonder the same thing myself. Actually, I think he probably wanted to do that very thing, but I think he was probably advised by his handlers, if he has any, or by folks whose advice he listens to, that told him that doing so would certainly alienate middle America voters in an expected run for the White House. I'm glad he did not use the power of the pardon, but in typical leftist fashion, he apparently ignored his conscience regarding the unfairness of the death penalty. Instead, he pulled lever B. What's lever B? Do everything you do in office to smooth any potential ripples that might appear in your next run for your next office. Look for Gavin Newsom to turn harder and harder and further left. After all, he's in California. That's the left coast. And for everything in California regarding politics to be successful, the purveyor must bow before the god of liberalism in every policy decision they make. And one more thing before we go. You can bet Gavin Newsom has his sights set on 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue. We just don't know how long he'll wait to make that run. The Ides of March today. Thanks for joining us. We introduced you. This is the first look at Gavin Newsom. And we'll be back with more about him. And we just kind of gave you the nickel tour today, folks. There is a lot of stuff underneath the covers that you haven't heard or seen anything about. And I started to say it'll blow your mind. It may not even blow your mind. You may just think that all politicians are dirty, and therefore dirt just really doesn't matter. It's all there. Whatever your thoughts are, there's a whole lot more there, and we'll be talking about it as time rolls on. Have a great weekend, and you stay close. We'll be back at truthnewsnet.org. Thank you. So long, everybody.
Uncertain about what you see and hear in mainstream media?
Worried about getting the truth? No worries anymore. Get the truth, only the truth, at TNN, the Truth News Network.
At truthnewsnet.org.